Well, good to be with you this morning. Pastor Eric and Catherine are on a big trip. I think we all know their daughter Nikki is going to college, freshman in college in Alabama. I think that's right. So it's a big moment for the Napleys. So it's a joy last week and this week to have some time just serving the church, helping the church by opening up God's word and preaching. If you don't know me, my name is Jason, my wife Rose. We have four children. We're missionaries at the University of Buffalo with an organization called Crew. We've been missionaries with them for 24 years. We served in China for a long time, from 2004 to 2015. And so we're just delighted to be members of this church and to do ministry together with you. Our oldest daughter, Maggie, she'll be a senior in high school this year. She's in South Africa right now, so she'll be coming home Thursday. She's been there on a mission trip, and we've been getting some good reports of the ministry that they're doing. They've been going into high schools and serving there and sharing their testimonies and using ministry tools to have spiritual conversations with students in high schools. They've been working with the rural poor, visiting the rural poor, and working with a ministry that does ministry to the rural poor in South Africa. They worked at an orphanage painting walls. So we haven't actually heard too much from Maggie because they took her phone away. All the kids, no phones all summer, so that's kind of weird. But we've gotten an email interaction with her like every Monday morning. So it seems like she's been doing well. And right now they just went north of where they are to area north of Durban, South Africa. They're doing some debriefing and going on a safari. So I suppose that she's having the time of her life. Can't wait to see her when she comes back. I don't know if my slides are up. You can put my slides up. But I wanted to share a little bit about our ministry at the University of Buffalo, an update. And so this summer we had a great time of having a Bible study in our home with about six or seven students from the University of Buffalo, most of whom are not Christians, and they're from all around the world. So this is a picture of us at the end of the summer going to Home Taste restaurant in Kenmore. It has really, really good Chinese food if you're ever interested. But just a great time of connecting over God's word together. We went on a hike to the Niagara Gorge, and it's just a great time of being in our home. We studied the book of James and just talked about it. And it was a really great time of sowing into the lives of these students and connecting with them from all around the world. Met some new students from China. We have a student from South Korea, Hong Kong. And so it was a really good time of ministry this summer. And also, this is a picture that was taken 7 years ago, believe it or not. This is when we really started our ministry at the University of Buffalo. We went on our first trip to Niagara Falls. And on the far right, there's a student named Luke. I'll call him Luke. He's from an area of China where we live, very close to where we live. And so we wrote about Luke in our newsletter this last month. And so Luke was an interesting case. I met him at the University of Buffalo. He walked on campus. He's a freshman. We immediately clicked. I lived in China for a long time. He's from a similar part of China, and we just clicked and became friends. And he really started to get involved with our ministry. And over the course of the following months, even the following years, he came to retreats, went to Bible study, came to outreaches that we had, and we had numerous times to share the gospel with Luke. But sure enough, every time we'd share, it seems like Luke was just resistant. He was just not interested in spiritual things. Well, in 2020, he returned home, and if you know anything, in the year 2020, a pandemic hit the world, and his home country of China and his home city of China had their ups and downs as they battled the pandemic. And he was a part of a lockdown that locked down 25 million people for 70 days straight. And it really created an incredible amount of conflict with his parents. I think there was definitely mental health things going on with him and in his home. And in that time, all those seeds that we planted in Luke's life seemed to really take root, and he started to turn towards God. He started to read a Bible that we had given to him. and he started to explore Christianity, and he started to show real signs of spiritual hunger to know more about Jesus. And so the following fall, last fall, a year ago, he came to Canada to attend a university in, is it Western Ontario? And he went to a church, and he heard the gospel again. And at that church, he prayed to receive Christ. He prayed to put his trust in Christ. And I was just shocked. This last January, he contacted me and said, "Hey, can I talk with you?" So we got on Facebook Messenger and started talking. He was just talking about how God has changed him, how he's in the process of getting baptized, and how he's constantly trying to share the gospel with his parents, always trying to get in the conversation with his parents. And he's like, "How do I do it? They don't want to hear me. What should I do?" And just kind of guiding him through that process. But it was an amazing story of God working in Luke's life, sharing the gospel with him for well over 4 years. And then finally, God bringing those seeds that were planted into his life, they came to fruition. So I hope that can be an encouragement to you. Sometimes evangelism, you share the gospel with someone and quickly they respond, and then sometimes it can take years. And that was the case with Luke. But we're just so thankful for God's work in his life. So God is working at the University of Buffalo. He's working in the lives of international students. And in about a week's time from now, there's going to be a whole new crop of new international students coming to UB. And the team that I work with will be responsible for welcoming them and just sharing the gospel with them and sowing seeds into their lives as well. So you can be praying for us in the next couple weeks, in the next months, as our ministry gets kicked off at the University of Buffalo. One of the things that my wife and I love to do is we've been working in our backyard. I know there's people in this church that love gardening, that love their backyards, hostas, right? All these names of flowers that I don't even know about, but there's a lot of gardeners and people in this church that love to garden. Well, my wife and I are the same. We bought our house 7 years ago. And over the last 2 years, we've had a major project in our backyard to make it better. So we built a deck, we built a fence, then another section of fence, and then finally over 4 sections of fence in our little backyard. We cleared out some shrubs that were overgrown. And the big project for this summer was to plant some trees. Plant some trees. Oh, yeah. So this is our backyard. And we work with a guy named Don Manta. Many of you know Don Manta. He used to be a member here of the church, involved with ministry for many years at UB. Well, he's a trained landscape architect. He came up with a plan for us and came up with these trees. I didn't even know the names of these trees. The center ones are called Slender Sweet Gum Silhouette Trees. I'm like, what is that? They're tall and skinny. Okay. And he said, "You got to go to Russell's and buy your trees there. And they'll even deliver them to your house." I was like, okay. And so we've been in the process of planting these trees. And it's been a lot of fun. This is kind of the before and this is the after. And buying trees, planting trees is wonderful. It's a wonderful thing. But it's also very stressful, because once you buy a tree, you know, they can be expensive. Your goal is to keep that tree alive, right? You want it to thrive in its new environment. It's so stressful, it's so difficult that a lot of these nurseries will give you a 1-year warranty, because it's so easy to kill a tree. And you have to do things to ensure that you don't kill them. You can water them. You need to water them, but not too much. You need to plant them in the ground, but don't plant them too deeply. You need to put mulch around the tree, but don't put too much mulch around the trunk of the tree. You need to fertilize the tree, right? But don't use too much fertilizer. You can kill that thing. You see, transplanting a tree is scary. And it's difficult to do it well. I will report that we put them in May, June, and they're still alive. We have not killed them yet. They are alive. Well, friends, as Christians, we too have undergone a transplanting process. We've been transplanted from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. What does it say in Colossians 1:13? God has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. But if we're honest, just like it's difficult to transplant a tree, so too it is difficult to be a Christian in this world. Yes, we've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of Jesus, but we're still here in this world. Some people will call this the already but the not yet. We've already become children of God. We already have the blessings that come from belief in Christ, a new identity, a new family, rich blessings that are spelled out by Paul in Ephesians 1. But yet these blessings are not fully realized yet. We still remain, we're still in the world, but not of the world, right? Yeah, I think the three areas of struggle that the Christians face are the world, the flesh, and the devil, right? These are the three foes of the Christian life. And as we come here to 1 Peter, we're really going to be looking more closely today, continuing last week and even this week, the foe of the world. So if you have your Bibles, we'll be turning to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll be reading in verses 13 through 17. 1 Peter 3, verses 13 through 17. I'll be reading out of the ESV. I'll read it. If you have your Bibles, you can read along with me quietly. Starting in verse 13, "Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil." Let me pray for us. God, we thank you for this passage that we come to today, and I pray that you would help us to apply it to our lives. Help us to understand what you're telling us. Lord, may we submit ourselves to what you're telling us today. May your word be alive and active. May it bring nourishment to our souls. May it strengthen us individually. May it strengthen us as a church. And God, may you be glorified now as we come to this passage written long, long ago, but has very real ramifications for our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a little context here in the book of 1 Peter. This is written to a group of Gentile converts to Christianity that are scattered around Asia Minor. They've come to faith in Christ and they're being persecuted. This is not a dominant Christian majority. These are very much a small religious a minority that is being persecuted by the people around them. Peter spends a lot of time in the book emphasizing their new identity in Christ, who they are in Christ, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, now who they are. And then he also emphasizes how they are to live as Christians, especially in this hostile world. And as we come to this passage today, I think the main idea of the passage here in verses 13 through 17 is this. Friends, being a witness for Christ combines godly behavior and godly speech under the lordship of Jesus Christ. If we want to be a witness for Jesus Christ, we need to combine godly behavior and godly speech under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And my prayer for us today is that we would find encouragement and strength to share the hope that we have in Jesus with the people around us. That's my prayer for us. And so, as we come here now to verses 13 through 17, I think we're going to learn three truths about how we can be a witness for Jesus Christ, especially in a growing, hostile world. And the first truth that we learn is this. Number one, friends, realize the place of your witness. Because we are witnesses for Jesus Christ, we must realize the place of our witness. What does it say here in verse 13? Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? Yeah. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. You can see this language. That Peter is saying, he's acknowledging the fact that these people are under pressure. You know, even in the Beatitudes that we're memorizing as a church, even the Sermon on the Mount, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew chapter 5. It says, Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, so this is very much the situation for these believers that Peter is writing to here. They're under pressure. They're sojourners and exiles. And they're living in the midst of this difficult world. And how do we now, 2,000 years later, I think this can apply to us. How do we now live in a fallen world? Sometimes there's not so much pressure. Sometimes there's a lot of pressure on us. After living in China for a decade, around persecuted Christians, sometimes I wonder, where is it more difficult to live as a Christian, in China or in the United States? I think that the political pressure from authorities and police, sometimes it's just very hard in China, but sometimes the pressure in the United States can be difficult as well. A different kind of pressure, a different kind of persecution. In 1995, I became a freshman at Damon College. My dream was to become a physical therapist. And so I had a short list of colleges, and Damon College was one of my choices, and I ended up going to Damon College. I moved from Medina, New York, where I grew up, to Damon, not too far away, but I lived in the dorms. The dorms in American colleges and universities are wild places. This is the 1990s. I don't even know what the 1960s were like. I think they're trying to burn UB down at that time. But the dorms are wild, a wild place, especially non-Christian universities and colleges. There's drinking, drugs, wild parties, bad language, etc. But in my life, God really began to change my life in college. I began to draw close to him. I was a Christian, but Jesus really became the center of my life. I began to walk with him. I began to read my Bible every day. I began to pray every day. I began to go to other Bible studies with students on campus. And my life began to change. I decided I wasn't going to drink with the guys in my dorms. I'm not going to do drugs. I'm going to pray before I eat my meals in the cafeteria. When the guys would tell the dirty jokes, I wouldn't laugh. And my classmates thought I was so weird, so weird. They gave me a name. They gave me a name. They called me Vern. They called me Vern. It's like, who is this guy? They just thought I was crazy. They called me Vern. I was an alien. I was an alien. In the Christian life, we have three foes: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And really, as we see in this passage here in 1 Peter, they're dealing heavily with the pressure from the world. And when it comes to pressure that comes from being from the world and being a Christian, I think there's two problems that can arise. when we deal with this pressure. The first one is that we want to retreat. Retreat to Christian schools. Only have Christian friends. Create a Christian bubble around yourself. And perhaps at times I think this is the only option. I've been following dear friends in China. And the Christians in China are under so much pressure right now. They're considering the fact, they're considering the only way to continue living for Christ is to leave China. It's not tenable anymore to stay. So they're seriously wrestling with this. Do I retreat from this place? But friends, the world needs Jesus. Jesus himself was sent into the world as a witness. And so now we too are called to be witnesses. What does they say here in John 20, 21? And Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." This is fundamental to New Testament, to biblical Christianity. Just as Jesus was sent, so now we are sent into the world. Ultimately, that's why my family went to China. We wanted to go to a place where there are very few Christians, where people by the millions had never even heard of Jesus. Why? Because it was easy? No. We went because of the need. We wanted to go into the darkness and let our light shine. The Bible says in Romans 10, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the message of the gospel. Friends, look at your feet. Look down at your feet. You have beautiful feet. When we go and share the gospel with people in dark places, God calls our feet beautiful. Well, that's the first problem, is retreat. The second potential problem is conformity. When the pressure as a Christian becomes so great, one of the challenges that we face is that we can conform to the world around us. How can we guard against this? Friends, walk with God and connect deeply with the people of God. Go to a church where that teaches the Bible and that loves the gospel. And this will help you and help you to prevent you from conforming. Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Friends, don't fall into the trap of conformity. Back to my college years, this is what ended up happening. I was able to find some amazing Christian friends that helped me stay close to Jesus. I found a church that loved me and encouraged me, and families that welcomed me into their homes. And to this day, I still love the pastor from that time, and that loved me well in those college years. They made a huge impact on my life. Friends, don't make the error of retreat. Don't make the error of conformity. Live in the middle and allow God to use you as a witness in a dark world. So the application question I have is this: how would your colleagues, friends, and family describe you as a person? Can people look at you and see Jesus? Can people listen to you and hear about Jesus? Or are you so retreated they really don't know you? You just don't want them to know that part of your life. Or are you so conformed to the world they would be shocked to believe that you are a Christian? Right? Both of those are different ends of the spectrum that lead us into error. May we be in the middle. May we be people that open up our lives and gladly share our lives with others so that they can see Christ enough. How would the people around you describe you as a person? Well, first here in this passage, we learn that, friends, we must realize the place of our witness. As this passage continues, we learn a second truth. And the second truth that we learn this is, friends, resolutely live out the practice of your witness. Resolutely live out the practice of your witness. Because we are witnesses of Christ, we must resolutely live out the practice of our witness. And when we think about the practice of being a witness, there's two aspects. Number one is our words. What does it say here in verse 15? But in your hearts regard Christ, the Lord is holy. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. You see, God wants us to use our mouths. God wants us to talk about the things that give us hope to the people around us. Have you ever got excited about something new? A new phone, a new car, the flowers in your backyard, your trees, right? You talk about it. The things that you're excited about, you talk about. Friends, may we be that way with Jesus. May we treasure Him. May we love His Word. And may we talk about Him with excitement to others. Let us be a people who share about our hope in Christ. And as it says here, with gentleness and respect. That's the first part of our practice. The second part of our practice is our actions. Our action. Again, what does it say here in verse 15? It's also part of our actions, that doing it with gentleness and respect. And that those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good than it should be God's will than for doing evil. Again, your good behavior in Christ. When we come to Christ, our behavior changes. Our lives changes. Friends, the second aspect of being a witness for Christ, the practice, is our the way we live, our actions. Let people see Christ in you. At the end of my time at Damon College, we had to do a big research project, and I was given a research partner, one of my classmates. Her name was Liz, and we had to spend a lot of time together working on this project, like a whole semester. And it turned out to be a great chance to be a witness. We worked well together. We spent a lot of time in this project together. We had to follow through with deadlines. I was able to become friends with her and respect her as a person. And when opportunities arose, I was able to share about my faith in Jesus. Little did I know that Liz came from a Christian home. And little did I know that Liz's mother had been praying for her for years. Well, soon after we graduated from physical therapy school, Liz sent me a note to let me know that she had become a Christian. She thanked me for being a witness to her and sharing about my faith in Christ with her. You see, God somehow used this opportunity to bring Liz to Himself. I always wondered, am I saying enough? Should I have said more? I'm praying for her. God, are you hearing my prayers? I wondered if she thought I was crazy. Did she think I'm crazy? Well, God worked in her life. And today, Liz, over 20 years later, is a very strong Christian. She actually went to China and worked in orphanages there as a physical therapist. And she adopted 2 children from China with disabilities. God has done an amazing work in her life. Friends, you just never know how God might use you, your words, your actions. You might be surprised how God can use you in the life of another person. So in application, the question I have for this for you is this week is this: how can I grow as a witness for Christ Jesus this week? Do you need to talk more about Jesus? Do you need to show your faith more to the people around you? Friends, may we be looking for opportunities to share the gospel with people around us, with our words and with our actions. Well, from this passage, number one, we've learned the first truth. Friends, realize the place of your witness. Secondly, we've learned resolutely live out the practice of your witness. And as we look at this passage, we learn a third truth about being a witness for Christ. And the third truth that we learn is this, friends, rest in the power of your witness. Where's the power come from? What does it say here in verse 15? But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Here, honor is a really interesting word. It's the same word in Matthew chapter 6 where Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer. It's, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's this Greek word, hagiazao. I don't even know how to say it. Hagiazao. It means to hallow Jesus as Lord. Hallowed be your name. Father, hallowed be your name. To revere, to make it holy. In many ways, what Peter is saying here is do not fear the world. Do not fear the world around you, but hallow Jesus as Lord in your heart. Fear him, respect him, revere him. Jesus is Lord. Jesus has great power. In Matthew 28, what does it say? All the authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This is the language of a king, the language of a Lord. So here Peter is telling us to rest in the power of Jesus. Allow him to be Lord in your heart. I think oftentimes there can be two problems. Sometimes we are too big. We make ourselves way too big, and Jesus is way too small in our lives. There's a famous book, When God is Big and People Are Small, I remember reading. Oh, when we are big in our lives and Jesus is small, we kind of tuck him off to the side. He just doesn't. We don't revere him. Another problem is our problems become so big and Jesus becomes so small. And when that happens, our problems will overwhelm us. The world will overwhelm us. Friends, allow Jesus to be big and powerful in your life. Hallow him. Friends, Jesus is bigger and more powerful than your problems. Trust in him. And that's what Peter's saying to this group of believers. Let Jesus be big in your life. Hallow him, revere him, trust him. And when we allow Jesus to be big and at the center of our lives, he promised to send us his Spirit. And he will fill us with his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, to give us power to be witnesses. If you look at the New Testament, whenever there's evangelism happen, it's always with the filling and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Friends, may we be a people who rest in the power of our witness. May it not rest in ourselves, but it's in Jesus Christ himself and the Spirit of Christ whom he has sent to us. And so the application question I have for you here is this. Is Jesus too small in your life? Is your view of Jesus too small? One of the things that a global pandemic can do is shake us up. And it's a great opportunity when things go sideways to really test what we're trusting in. And globally, if I saw one problem with many brothers and sisters in Christ, is that in the pandemic, it's almost as if Jesus was in the corner crying, totally powerless. Friends, we serve a big God. Jesus is powerful, and we can trust him. He's not in the corner crying, powerless. He's reigning in the heavens, Lord of all, and we can trust him no matter what. Friends, is Jesus too small in your life? Friends, being a witness for Christ involves godly behavior and godly speech under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Realize the place of your witness. Resolutely live out the practice of your witness and rest in the power of your witness. Living as a Christian in a hostile world can be very difficult. Just like the challenges you see when you transplant a tree into new soil, so too we face challenges as we've been transferred from the dominion of darkness into the dominion of God's beloved Son. It's hard to stand tall. It's hard to make the roots of our faith grow deep into the soil. Sometimes the weather's hot and dry, and we feel spiritually empty. But friends, in those moments, may we be a people who live closely with God and with one another. May we grow deeply in God. And may the power of Christ be seen in us. May our lives be filled with fruit that everyone can see. That's really the heartbeat and the mission statement of this church, that we will be thriving and multiplying believers in Jesus Christ. As I was reflecting on this passage, I was drawn to Psalm chapter 1. It says this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, that yields its fruit in its season. And its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." But this section here, the blessed man, he is like a tree planted by streams of water. Friends, may this be true of us. May it be true of you. And I think this relates to us. But more than this, friends, I think that this psalm is pointing to someone else. This psalm is pointing to Jesus. Jesus is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, but in perfect submission to the Father. Jesus is the man who does not stand in the way of sinners, but is a friend of sinners, becoming the way himself that they might find salvation. Jesus is the man who does not sit in the seat of scoffers, but in the seat of mercy. Jesus is the man who delights in the law of the Lord, and he always lives to make intercession for us. Jesus is the man who meditates on God's law day and night and does not sleep nor slumber, and his holiness is everlasting. Jesus is like a tree, the tree of life planted by streams of water, living water, that whoever drinks of it will never be thirsty again. Water that yields its fruit in its season. Friends, may we come to Jesus today. May we trust in him and allow him to be Lord of our lives. May he be big in our lives. And as we do this, may we become trees that don't just survive but thrive, who leaves do not wither. And in all that we do, may we prosper. And as God produces this fruit in our lives, by the power of the Spirit, we will become powerful witnesses for Christ, even in a hostile world. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this passage. Surely the days are evil that we're living in. Surely it is not easy to be a Christian. I look at my children sometimes and the pressure they face in the public schools. I look at what we face at the University of Buffalo. All you have to do is watch the news, and you almost have to turn it off because it's so perverse. But Lord, may we not retreat and may we not conform. And Lord Jesus, may we come to you, our friend, our Savior, our Lord, and may we find power in you and your Spirit to somehow live in this world. And not only live, but to thrive and be a witness for you. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would come quickly, return quickly. We desire for you to return. But in the meantime, we desire to live for you and to be lights for you. Lord, use our mouths and use our lives. Use our words and use our actions to be witnesses for you. Lord, when we fail, may we be humble and admit our mistakes to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and may we admit our mistakes to even to the people, the non-Christians around us. And God, may you give us strength. God, I thank you for this church and the bright witness that they are, constantly doing things in this community. This community knows the love of Jesus. Sheridan Parkside knows that this church loves Jesus and loves them. And God, may we continue to do this more and more in this community, in our homes, in our workplaces. May we do it for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.